Okay, let's pick up from the Gemara and Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. We left off about 10 lines down. The first word on the line is Belvad. We're going to start from Amar Reva. We'd previously been discussing the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding the case of Taman, right? We said that if you have a pile of grain and somebody lights a fire nearby and that fire burns down your pile of grain, they're obviously going to be liable to pay for that pile of grain. However, what happens if you don't just have a pile of grain? Let's say you stole some items inside of that pile of grain. So that's a machlokas. That's the case of tamen. Tamen means that it's concealed. The items are concealed inside of that pile of grain. So what's the halacha? That's a famous machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to Rav Yehuda, you'd have to pay for even the things that are contained inside of that pile of grain. And the Chachamim say, nope, you only have to pay for the pile of grain that you visibly burned down. Okay, then we introduced a braisa, and the braisa said, well, you know, well, actually, Rav Yehuda agrees to the Chachamim that you are going to be exempt from paying for the items that are contained inside in an interesting scenario where, let's say, it's the question boils down to where is this pile of grain. So let's say the case is where I say, you know, you're welcome to keep a pile of grain in my backyard. So you put a pile of grain in my backyard. Now I say to you though, you're allowed to keep a pile of wheat in my backyard. So what you do is you stole some wheat in my backyard, but you cover it over with barley. Or let's say the other way around, that I say, you know, you're welcome to keep a pile of barley in my backyard. And instead what you do is you put barley in my backyard, but you cover it over with wheat. So in that case, according to Rabuta says you're going to pay only the value of barley. Why is that? So this is because I have the ability to say, look, I invited you to keep barley in my backyard. And so when I'm inviting you to keep things in my backyard, that is a form of an acceptance of shmirah. I'm essentially saying I'm willing to take responsibility to watch this item that you put in my backyard. So if you put something else in my backyard, I'm not going to be responsible for that item. Okay, so similar to that idea, Rava says as follows, Amar Rava, Hanosin dinar zahav le'isha. If a person gives a golden dinar to a woman, Varmal, and he says to her, Hizaribo, be careful with this item that I'm giving you, shal kesefhu. It is a dinar of kesef. Meaning to say, it's something along the lines of, I hand you a paper bag, and in the paper bag is a golden dinar. But I don't tell you that it's a golden dinar. I tell you that there is a silver dinar in here. Now, if you want to think about this maybe in modern terms for how much money we're talking about, a dinar zav is roughly 120 grams. So if you look online, at least for today, the value of a dinar zav for 120 grams of silver in the modern equivalency comes out to a little bit more than $4,000. So I hand you a bag essentially with $4,000 in it, and really it's I'm telling you that it's not really $4,000 in here. It's not a dinar zav, it's a dinar kesef. Now dinar kesef, depending on which dinar kesef we're talking about, there are different dinar kesefs for different currencies of chazal, but even so, the most that this dinar kesef could be is 1/25th of a dinar zahav, which means that instead of it being a little bit more than $4,000, we're talking about $200. So I give you a paper bag that has $4,000 in it, and instead it doesn't have $4,000 in it. It has I tell you it has $200 in it, and really it has a little bit more than $4,000 in it. That's what's going on over here. So what happens in the case? He's ikasa. Well, if she damages it in some way. Now, how did she damage it? So Rashi says that the case over here is specifically where she actively did something to destroy the item. Let's say she burned it up or she tossed it into the river. So in that case, the Gemara says, Mishalemis dinar zahav. Rava's chiddush is she would have to pay for a dinar zahav. Even though she thought she was just damaging $200 at dinar shel kesef, but really, the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, she damaged a dinar zahav, and that's what she's going to have to pay. So why is that? Why does she have to pay for dinar zahav if she thought she was damaging a dinar shel kesef? So Gemara says, Mishum da amrla, because he has the ability to say to her, my havalach gabe dazakte. What is it by you that you, what is it to you by it that you damaged it? Meaning to say, as far as you're concerned, you have no right to damage my property. So if you have no right to damage my property and you actively damage this, so then you are going to be you're going to be liable because you have no right, and therefore, even though you thought it was $200, but you have no right to damage, so it doesn't really make a difference what the value is. Since you have no right to damage, you're going to have to compensate for whatever the value is. Now, this is in contrast to the following case. Pashaba, well, let's say she was just negligent with it, meaning to say he entrusts this paper bag of Dinar Kesef, of Dinar Zav, which he tells her is Dinar Kesef, he entrusts us with her and says, would you mind watching this for me? Well, and then she's negligent with it in some way. She doesn't guard it properly, and then it gets lost, let's say. So, Mishalemes Shal Kesef. So, in this case, she's not going to be responsible to pay for a Dinar Zav, she's going to be responsible to pay for Dinar Kesef. Darmale, because now she has the ability to say, look, you told me that you were entrusting $200 with me. The way I take care of $200 is different than the way I'm going to take care of $4,000. Darmale, she can say to him, Nitirusa de Kaspa kibili alai. I accepted a Shmira for Kesef. Nitirusa de Dahava lo kibili alai. The Shmira of gold, I did not accept it by myself. And therefore, that's why she's able to compensate for only Kesef. That's Rava's two points. So, Amalei Rav Mordechai Ravashi. Rav Mordechai said to Ravashi, Atun bid the Rava Masnisula. You guys have learned this from Rava. But Anan mimas nisab shitalan. We learned this from a Braisa. What Braisa do we learn from? The Braisa that we talked about before. Chitin v'chipan b'sa'arn. If I allow you to keep wheat in my backyard and you cover it over with barley, or sa'arn, v'chipan v'chitin, or I allow you to keep barley in my backyard and you cover it over with chitin, ein m'sham el d'mei sa'arn b'vad. You're going to pay only for the value of the barley. Now, why is that? So the way that we understand Pshat and that Braisa is as follows. Alma, so clearly you see that Amalei Netirosa Desari Kabili Alai, you see that he clearly has the ability to claim, I accepted a Shmira of barley on myself. So Hachanami Amalei Netirosa Dedahavalo Kabili Alai. So similarly over here, she's able to say to him, I did not accept a Shmira of gold upon myself. Okay. Amarav. Rav says, Shamis Milsa l'Rav Yehuda. I heard some Shtikl Torah from Rav Yehuda relating to the halacha of Rav Yehuda. V'lo yadina, the point that Rav Yehuda made, v'lo yadana mayhi, but I don't know exactly what that is. So Shmuel said, v'lo yada abba may shemi alei. You don't know what you heard regarding Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda de Mechayev on this. Presumably, the halacha that you heard is the halacha pertaining to Rav Yehuda's point about liability for Nizkei Tamin Be'esh. And what point did you hear? That asu takanas nigzal beisho. That they made the takana of the nigzal, a person who from whom something was stolen, they made a takana that we find by nigzal, they made a similar takana when it comes to isho, when it comes to his fire. What does this mean? So Rashi points you to the Gemara in Shavuos. In Shavuos, typically we say that, at least on a Daraisa level, in order to be able to collect money from somebody else, you have to have witnesses, essentially. You have to have Adam that he owes you money. Well, the question is, well, what happens if he doesn't have witnesses? So the way that it works is, let's say I tell you that I entrusted something with you. You were a shomer for me. So now I can't just force you to make a shavua that you didn't give it back to me. It doesn't work that way. If you tell me, well, I'm really sorry, but a tornado came and blew it away, so then I can say, okay, make a shavua in court that what you're saying is true. In other words, the shavua is usually made by the party that's on the defensive. However, Chazal enacted a special takana, what's called takanas nigzal, that in a case where somebody claims that something was stolen from him, he has the right. Now, the problem here is that the Goslin doesn't really have any nemanis as far as the Nigzal is concerned. So the Nigzal, the person from whom the item was stolen, or who's claiming that he was robbed, so he is able to make what's called a Shavuos HaNotlin. He's able to make a Shavuah, so he's on the offensive here. That's the Chiddush over here. Normally, the person making the Shavuah is on the defensive, but in this case, the person who's claiming that he was robbed, he's able to say, or that something was stolen from him, he's able to say, he's able to make a shvuah in court, and that would allow him to collect the item that he stole. So he's able to make a shvuah that this item was stolen from me, and that will allow him to collect that item that was stolen from him. That's takanas nigzal. So there is a similar takana that they applied to taman be'esh, that when there's a case of taman, I'm able to make a shvuah, and again, I'm on the offensive, and I'm able to make a shvuah that this is what I stowed away in this pile of grain, and that's what I should be entitled to collect. That's what Shmuel said. We apply by Rav Yehuda's din. In other words, Rav Yehuda says you pay for that which is inside of the pile of grain. Well, how on earth do we know what was in that pile of grain? Everything was incinerated. The answer must be that you are making a shavua. You're making a shavua that this is what was contained inside of that pile of grain. Okay. By Amemar. Now, Amemar had the following question. Asu takanas nigzal b'maser olo. Did they make a takanas nigzal with respect to maser or not? Now, a maser, it's the same thing as a moser. Moser we translate as an informer. In other words, a person who tattles on you to the government, and the government therefore takes away your property. So now the question is there such a thing as a takanas nigzal when it comes to a moser, that you can come to court, the person whose property was taken away is able to come to court, and they're able to make a shavua that this is what was done, and they are now able to collect compensation. So the Gemara says, "Alibi demanda Amar lo daninan dina de garmi lo tibay lecha de mesiris nami lo daninan." We know that there's a machlokas. Rashi points you to the Gemara Daf Kofi Yedzayin Amud Beis, at the very end of the Masechta. We know that there's a famous machlokas about garmi. In general, whenever it comes to nizakin, we always want to know, well, how did you result in the damage happening? So, and that translates into how directly involved were you in this damage, right? It's going to make a difference if you physically take someone's glass vase and you throw it to the ground, so you're going to be liable for that. Similarly, if you take a BB gun and you shoot that glass vase and break it, that's also, you're going to be liable for that. Well, what about if, instead of doing that, you release a channel of water that takes a few seconds and ultimately sweeps up the glass vase and breaks it. So you were somewhat directly involved, but somewhat indirectly involved. Or let's say that's not what happened. Let's say you left it in a place that was irresponsible, and then a wind came and blew it away and broke it. All these cases, there are different levels of interaction with resulting in the nezek, with resulting in the damage. And so the question is always going to be, how directly involved were you? And the basic levels of interaction that we talk about when we're talking about indirect damage is grama and garmi. Those are two different levels that Be'ez Hashem will hopefully discuss a little bit more. But we know that there's a famous machlokas regarding whether garmi, this indirect damage, is something that is meaningful in halacha. So there's a shita that says, lo dinin dina dagmi. Dina dagmi, indirect damages in a certain level of indirectness, we don't bother with. So according to that position, lo tibay lecha, you're not going to have any question. The mesiris nami lo dinin, and then certainly we're not going to handle issues of mesiris, because that's essentially a very indirect damage, right? You tattle on someone to the government. The government takes away their property. So you resulted in them suffering a loss, but that's very indirect. So if you hold that we don't deal with indirect damages in halacha, so then same thing for mesiris, you're not going to have a question. So clearly, ela ki tibay lecha, then under what circumstances or regarding whom are you going to have a question? Aliba demanda amar, according to the opinion, daninan dina dagami, that if you do, that we do to handle issues of garmi, so then you're going to have a question of asu takanas nigzal b'maser. Do we make takanas nigzal with respect to maser as well? That would dimishtava v'shaka, that it would allow him to make a shvu in court that this is the amount of money that he suffered, that he lost, olo or not. And so, what does the Gemara say? The halacha is teku. We don't know. We're going to have to let the halacha wait till Eliyahu Navi comes. Okay, that's a Amemar's question. Now, the Gemara goes on and says as follows. Hahu gavra, there was a certain person, de batash be kasafta de chavre. He kicked the kasafta, which Rashi tells us is like a chest that they used to keep silver in. So, de batash be kasafta de chavre, he kicked the chest of his friend, and shadi benara, and he sent it flying, throwing it into the river. Well, Asamare, so the owner of the chest came, and he said, Hachi v'hachi, havali begava. Right, again, we don't know what was in that chest. We don't know how much was in that chest. And so the master comes running to us and he says, well, this is what was in that chest. So Yosef Ravashi, Ravashi said for Kama Einbe, he was investigating this issue, and Ki Agav Namai, he wanted to know what would be the halacha in such a case. So Amrle Ravina le Rav Acha Bered the Rava, Vamila Rav Acha Bered the Rava le Ravashi. So Ravina says Ravacha, or Rav Acha Bered the Rava says Ravashi. Lav Hanemas Nisin, is that not the very case of our Mishnah? That Nan, as we know, the Mishnah tells us Umodim Chacham le Rav Yura b'Malak Hazabira Shemasham Kol Mash B'Socho. Aren't the Chacham, don't they agree to Rabbi Yehuda that when you are lighting a biro is like a house or a palace or a tower, so when you light this someone's house on fire, so we said in the Mishnah that the Chacham would agree that even the Chacham typically don't require you to pay for Tamun, but in this case they would. You'd have to compensate for everything that was in the house. Because it's the norm for people to keep things in their houses. So the question is though, how do I know what was in your house? I burned down your house and you come running, you say, well, you have to pay me for everything that was in my house. How do we know what was in your house? Must be that you're showing up to court and saying, this is what was in my house. And so similarly over here, when I kick your chest, we don't know what was in the chest, but I kicked your chest into the river. Now you come running to Bezin, you tell Bezin, this is what was in my chest, so that's what I'm going to have to be liable. That's what I'm going to have to be liable for to pay. So Amrlei, so he said, well, Ida Katan Zuzi Hachanami. If the person who owned the chest would be claiming money, then in Echnami, you'd be right. If all he wanted was some silver, some money, so then I can understand, you're right. But Hacha, what are we talking about over here? De Katan Marganisa, he's claiming pearls or jewels. He says, so now that's the question. In other words, he's claiming that he had some unique items in that chest that are not necessarily typically stowed in a chest. So what would be the halacha? Mi manchi inchi marganisa bekasafta. Do people stow jewels in a chest, olo, or not? And teku, so the halacha is teku. We don't really know. We're going to have to wait till Eliyahu Navi comes. Okay. That's the next question. So we have the question of a Meimar. Do we apply Takanas Nigzal with respect to Maser? And we have the question of Rav Ashi, that what about if a person kicks a Kasafta into the river? Okay. Amalei Rav Yemar le Rav Ashi. Rav Yemar said to Rav Ashi, Tain Kasa de Kaspa Bebira Mai. What would be the case if, in our Mishnah, again, we said the case of the Mishnah is that you burn down somebody's house, and the owner of the house says, okay, I had a sofa in there, I had a bed in there, you're going to have to pay X number of dollars for the various items that I had in my house. What happens if the owner of the house claims that there was a casa de caspa in that house? There was a silver cup, I guess you would say a silver becher, a goblet of some sort. He claims that his house had this really expensive silver cup in it. My, what would be the halacha? So Amrlei, so he said back to him, Chazina, e inish amidhu de isla kasa de kaspa. I'll tell you what we'd have to do. We'd have to see if he is an inish amid. An inish amid means he is an evaluated person, meaning to say we evaluate him as being a wealthy individual who would be having silver cups in his house. Inami or inish mehemnahu, or if he's a trustworthy individual, de mafkadi inshikabe, the people entrust their items with, and it could be that someone entrusted a silver cup with him. So then, if that's the case, mishtava v'shakal, he would swear, and he would be entitled to take compensation for that item. V'ilo, and if not, lav kol kamine, then nothing doing by him, we don't really care what he's claiming. So, Amalei Rav Ada Barei, Rav Avi Rav Ashi. So now, Rav Ada Barei, Rav Avi says, Rav Ashi, ma bin gazlan l'chamsan, what's the difference between a gazlan and a chamsan? Now this, if you take a look at Tysus points you to the circus in the third parak of Sanhedrin. Tysus tells you that at least on a deraisa level, there's really no difference between a gazlan and a chamsan. We translate both as a person who is a thief. They're both kinds of thieves. But so why do we care what the difference is? So if you look in the Gemaras in Sanhedrin, the Gemaras in the third parak of Sanhedrin discuss who is invalid to serve as a witness on a rabbinic level, right? Midaraisa, in order to be pasul le'edus, you have to be someone who violated a lav. So you have to be deemed a rasha on a daraisa level. So if you violated a lav or worse, you're pasul le'edus. On a drabbanan level, you're a person who would be pasul le'edus, let's say for monetary issues, if you're a person who doesn't take people's money seriously. And the Mishnah gives you a whole bunch of examples over there, a person who gambles, a person who doesn't do much with their lives. That's what the Gemara, that's what the Mishnah goes through those cases. So now the question is, what about a gazlan and what about a chamsin? What's the difference between a gazlan, of course, is on that list, and a chamsin is, of course, on that list that we, at least the Gemara gives a little bit later. But the question is, what's the difference between a gazlan and a chamsin? So Amalei, so he said back to him, chamsin yavdami. A chamsin is a person who actually compensates for the item that he's stealing. In other words, he essentially forces you to give him an item. He says, "Look, I really want this item. I'm happy to pay for it. I know that you don't really want to give it to me, but I'll pay you for it, and I force you to give it to me." Gazlin lo yavdami, and the gazlin just takes that. He doesn't give any money. Okay, so that's what how he distinguishes between gazlin and chamsin. So Amarle, so he said back to him, "Yavdami. Well, wait a second. If he gave money, chamsin karisale, you're calling him a chamsin? Va'amar rahuna tolu avizavin zavini zavini." Didn't Rav Huna say that if somebody hangs up somebody else and forces him to sell him something, the sale is valid? That's a Toluva Zevin. He hangs up himself and forces and buys something, meaning to say the or he hangs him up and he sells him something. The point is that you compel somebody to sell you something, it's a valid sale. So how could it be a valid sale if the person is considered to be a chamsin? So lo kasha. Nope, that's not really a problem. Hada amar rotani depends on whether he said rotani. One case is where he said, "I want this," and once he says rotani, that's enough to effect a valid kinyan, a valid sale. Hada lo amar rotani, and one is where he did not say rotani. One is where he did not say, "I want to go along with the sale." And therefore, if he didn't say that, then he's deemed, then you, the person who is compelling him to go through giving him his item, and you're compensating for him, but you're considered a chamsin. Okay, so just to summarize and organize what we talked about, we had Rava's halacha that if I entrust a golden dinar with somebody, I give it to a woman, to or any person for that matter, to hold on to, and I tell her this is a not I tell her this is a dinar shel kesef. If she damages it, she's gonna have to pay for the full value. If she's negligent with it, then she's gonna have to pay just for kesef. Then we pointed out that Rava's point seems to emerge from the Mishnah as well. Then we had Rav's halacha, where he said, "I heard something about Rav Yehuda's halacha, but I don't know exactly what he said." And Shmuel said, "Oh, it's presumably that we apply the takanas nigzal with respect to tamen ve'esh." In other words, that the person whose items were stowed away in that pile of grain is able to make a shvu in court that this is what was contained within it. Amaber had the question, "Well, do they apply the takanas nigzal when it comes to a moser, or not?" And we basically said it's teiku. We then had the question of, well, what about if a person kicks a chest of that typically you stow silver in, and the person kicks that chest into the sea. Now the master, the owner of the item, comes to court and he says, "Well, I kept actually very expensive jewels in that chest. So do we trust him or not? Is it normal for people to keep jewels in such a chest or not?" So he said it's a teiku for that as well. We then had a case that Rav Yemar said to Rav Ashi, "What happens if the person claims that I had a very expensive silver cup in my house?" So he said it depends on whether he's the kind of person who would have a silver cup in his house, either because he's very wealthy or because he's trustworthy and people entrust items with him. And then the final question that we had is what the difference between a gazlan and a chamsin was. They're both thieves. The question, and this of course is going to relate to psulei edus, the question is what's the difference between them? So Rav Ashi explained the difference is that a chamsin gives money and a gazlan doesn't give money. So he said, "Well, wait a second. If that's the difference, that a chamsin is giving money, why is it any different than the case of Toluah v'Zavin? Toluah v'Zavin, where we say that it's a valid sale. Well, if it's a valid sale, then he doesn't have a status of a thief." So he said, "No, it depends if he said rotzani. A chamsin is a case where the fellow does not say rotzani. That's when he's considered to be a chamsin." Okay, let's hold here.